I would like to bring greetings from Grace Baptist Church, Davyton, and also from Solar 5 Steering Committee as family. I'm actually the new chairperson, who are calling it as family. So yeah, we are glad to have you being a part of the association. It is a blessing also to have your pastor, to work with your pastor. I just like his energy. You know, he's a very energetic man. So I don't know, that's what attracted each other, us to myself to him. But we are thankful to be here, to be with you. Let me pray for the word, and then we prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. Our Father who is in heaven, we do come before you. You are indeed our Father. You are high and lifted up. Oh God, indeed you are in heaven. You are above, Lord God, above any other kings. Oh Lord God, you are indeed a father to the fatherless. Oh indeed, you are a holy father. You are a father that, Lord God, all of us as fathers, we need to emulate, to be like you, O God, in loving even our wives, in loving our children, in being, O God, good citizens where you have put us, and being faithful children, Lord, who pass on the gospel to many who don't know you as the Lord and the Savior. We do pray, O Lord, for all those who don't have fathers, be a father to them. Some may be here, Lord, in this morning, who have been, O Father, believe in you, believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. We do pray that they may know the door is still open, Lord. They may enter through faith in Christ Jesus. Now we are coming to hear from you. May you please speak to us from your word. May you open our eyes to see wonderful things, O Lord, from your law. May you help us as well, be your mouthpiece, O Father, to say what you want us, Lord, to say. O Father, we do pray, may we not be the same after hearing your word. Give us ability to be able to do what your word instruct or tell us to do. Give us ears to hear your word, O Father, as is coming from you. We do ask all this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please open your Bible with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. My title this morning is Living a Joyful Life in a Joyless World. Living a Joyful Life in a joyless world. How are we going to do that as a church of Jesus Christ? Let us read beginning from verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, we are reading from verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. How are we going to live a joyful life in a joyless world? We are encountering a man who write this letter. He is in prison as is writing this letter. Why is he arrested? This man didn't beat his wife. He didn't abuse his children. He didn't steal anything from anyone. But the question is, why is he in prison? What is he doing there? Oh, my friend, he is in prison because he has upset many. How so? He told them that they are sinners. They are corrupt. They are evil. They have broken the law of God. They are on their way to hell. He called on them and he says, repent and turn away from your sins. Oh, you will think they will repent in tears. You will think they will come to him and say, how can we repent? You will think they will do that. They put him in prison. They don't want anyone to trouble them. They were happy in living their life. Now this man, he is in prison. There's many reasons that can make him to be angry and not to be rejoicing, right? Oh, but this man, even in prison, he writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. He is saying nothing should steal your joy. That is what he's saying. Rejoice in the Lord. And he say, I say, always rejoice. But who is he writing this letter to? Look in chapter 1, from verse 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. He's writing to this church who are at Philippi. Why is he writing to them? What causes him to write this letter to them? The passage that is before us gives us those reasons. Look now where we have read in beginning in verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now the first point or the first way of living a joyful life in a joyless world, allow me to say you must be selfless. You must be selfless. This is what we see this church have done. This church, they were selfless. Hence, Paul tells us, I rejoice in the Lord. Very important to notice, where does he rejoice? I rejoice to be in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. Notice this Lord is he talking about. This is a Lord. Is his boss. I rejoice in the Lord. Oh, my friends, may I ask you a question? Do you rejoice where you are working? Do you rejoice under your bosses? Are you happy to be under this boss? What about church? Do you rejoice to be in church? Do you rejoice in serving and worshiping this God? Every morning when you wake up, you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad. Is that you? Is that you? I rejoice in the Lord. Oh, my friends, if you don't rejoice in the Lord, allow me to say, maybe you are not in Him. Maybe you have been to submit your life to Him. Maybe your heart is not changed by Him. Maybe you are not having a new heart that He gives all who come to Him in faith. Maybe that is the reason. My text says, I rejoice in the Lord. How much do you rejoice in the Lord, Paul? To what extent, to what degree do you rejoice in the Lord? He continued to say, greatly. I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Oh, my friends, he find his complete joy in the Lord. He says, why? What makes this joy to come? That now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Brothers and sisters, Paul is saying here, you know what? Now you have revived your concern. What does it mean? Now, maybe let me give you an example. If a wife comes to the husband and say, hey, honey, you have revived your consent. You started getting used to me. When we were passing, remember those honeymoon stages? You know, when you wake up, say, wow, I can't believe I'm married to you. Wow. Right? When we say, just bless the food we want to eat, you start saying, oh God, I thank you for this beautiful wife. Oh, what did I do to get her? And now you know, say, yeah, you remember those honeymoon stages? Now it's 5 years down the line. It's 10 years, 15, 20. Right? And we say, bless the food. Say, thank you, God, for your provision. Amen. Now, Paul is saying, now you have revived your concern. It means you are concerned about me, but it seems like as time goes on, many things are happening. You ended up forgetting. Friends, this is a problem of sin. When sin comes on earth, everything is no longer working the way it was working. After Genesis chapter 3, you remember Genesis chapter 2? Wow, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Do you remember that? Before Genesis, right? After Genesis, this woman, the bone has turned from being bone of the bone to this. That's what has happened. It's after Genesis chapter 3. Now, people have a problem with an ongoing sin of forgetting. They don't only forget to revive their life for their family, for their children, for their church. They forget even to love the Lord and the work of the Lord. They forget. Because we are tainted with the sin of Adam. When we encourage people, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Well, they remember at that time. And now as time goes on, they forget. Paul says, you didn't have an opportunity. What do we do with people who don't have opportunity? We remind them the opportunities. We tell them of the mission of work that still need to be done. We say, here are the opportunities. Why don't you sign up? Why don't you be part of this work? Sign up! Remind them the opportunities, right? We remind the husband, the wife, say, that powerful bill. You remember you used to cook on your first year, second year? Now we remind them and say, bring it again. Bring it with more spice now. Remind, present an opportunity. Paul says you didn't have an opportunity. Brothers and sisters, God creates an opportunity for his church by taking his servant and put him in prison. He takes his servant, he put him in prison, he creates an opportunity for the church to begin to love and to care for him. Now they are learning to be selfless when the messenger of the gospel, he is in prison. That's when they remember. Now Paul is saying, I'm glad you have remembered. Look in verse 11. Not that I'm speaking of being in need. Number one, you see that we need to be selfless. But number two, we need to be content. To be content. Look in verse 11. Not that I am speaking of being in need. You may pause and say, Paul, you are in prison. You should be in need. He said, no. Not that I am speaking of being in need. He said, are you not in need? Are you not seeing some people to show you some love? What do you mean, not that you are in need? Are you boasting, Paul? What is happening? What is going on here? Are you in denial? That, no, I'm not in need. Is that the reason? Oh, not at all. Not at all. Not that I'm speaking of being in need. Why? For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I have learned to be content. Look in verse 12. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstances. I have learned this secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He said, I've learned. I'm not saying I'm in need because I've learned. You know what does that mean? If you were to learn something you didn't know, now this fallen world will teach you some things that you need to learn. Part of the lesson you're gonna get through suffering. That's not where we wanna go. When we are in suffering, when the Lord puts you in prison, when the Lord removes you your job, when you fail a class, when things are not going according to your plan, you begin to get some lessons. You begin to learn. He says, I have learned. What have you learned? To be content. I have learned to be satisfied with Jesus. To be content. If I have Jesus, I've got it all. Right? Now he's saying he has learned. He says, I know. I like Paul. Paul was not this preacher who preached and say, I never been in that situation. I don't know how. Person, I know. I know how is it to have it all, to be up here. But I know how is it to be at the bottom. I know how is it to be in a pit, and I know how is it to be outside of the pit. I know the two. I've been there. He's saying this church. He said, I've been there. I've learned when God put me in prison, another one. I know, and Christians need to know this and learn this. It was disappointing in South Africa. I was disappointed when COVID started. I was disappointed, I can tell you. Christians ran for their life. No, I was disappointed. They ran. You were, hey, where are these people? Hey, where are they? When you visit, they say, Pastor, why are you bringing COVID to us? The government said, Pastor, stay at home. They say, now I'm not out of the work or what? I'm no longer supposed to shepherd you. Pastor, please, do love those two little kids. Stay, COVID will find you busy up and down. Stay at home, please. My friend Newton got into trouble in Malawi. He was driving and he was arrested, and I had to go there and see him. And one of my friends, he said, "Oh, where are you going? Oh, you're gonna kill kids, you now. How can you go? You see COVID. What if they lock you down in Malawi? What will happen?" Now, you are there. You are a Christian. You are there. Right? Oh, friends, we get disappointed after John 3. After Genesis 3, right? We expect that we are together in this, right? We expect that we are together for life. We expect that we will die for each other, right? 1 John 3:16, Christ died for us. You die for one another. We expect we will die for one another until bad things happen. Hey, people run for their life. They don't look back. They don't phone. They don't WhatsApp. I started asking them, is COVID now in WhatsApp? Is COVID in calls? Are you phoning? Is COVID there? Because you are no longer phoning, you are no longer WhatsApping, you are no longer messing. What is going on? Friends, I believe that time the Lord gives us to learn. To learn, to have our freedom, to walk around as we want, and also to learn when you are locked with your wife. Some people didn't like that. That was the serious problem. They're like, when is the government allow you to go back to work? They didn't like it at all. Just to be together. The office was doing a good job. And now you're thinking they are faithful employees. They come work very early. No, they are running. Don't run away to 30 minutes at work. Because they are running away. When they wake up, they are gone. So God said, no, go back home. Go cultivate love. Go look at each other eye to eye. Go sit there at home. I've learned to be content. Friends, are we content? We need to learn. We're not going to come to a point and say, I've learned anything and everything that I need to know about being content. We need to keep learning. We need to keep learning. Learn to be content. Learn to be thankful. Let us keep going. Let's go to number 3. But Paul was not just saying to live a joyful life in a joyless life. You need to live a selfless life. But number 2, you need to be content. In whatever situation God puts you, you need to learn that lesson. If you haven't learned, learn that lesson to be content in your life. But number 3, to be thankful. To be thankful. Look again in chapter 4. After Paul says, look in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. After he says that, look verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that at the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increase to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. What's that? He's being thankful. He is sitting there. He's writing for this church. He is being thankful. He's specific. He is specific. Thankful for what? If you say, oh, thank you for what? Be specific. What is he thankful for? It's saying, no, you have revived your concern for me. You have given. You have given not even once. Not, you've given more than once. Even when I was with you, you were faithful giving. Even when I was away, you. I love Paul. Doesn't want to give credit where it's not due. He said, you, Philippians. Then Kitwe Church may ask themselves, where are we in this equation? If we were living during the time of Paul, and he's writing and he's thanking these churches, and Paul has this habit. You know, some of us have the habit of calling only false teachers by name. Who is a false teacher in Zambia? We have made that board, there's a big post today. It's a miracle, you know. We have that habit of calling those. Look at that false teacher, right? But Paul also has a habit of calling churches that were involved by them. You know, some churches you look for long. You look for their name, the place list of churches. You know, where is Kitwe? Where? In this list of churches that the Lord is praising them for what they've done. Where? Right? Let's look at the list. And your name, right? In involvement there. I said, well, where is your name? And you look. Because Paul have that habit to say, Epaphroditus, by name. Right? And Paul said, oh, don't call people by name. You will offend those who are doing nothing. Paul doesn't care. He says, Epaphroditus. He says, honor such men. I said, oh, you guys, we thank you. Paul said, I thank Epaphroditus. Now others say, just look around. Actually, those who refuse to go and see Paul, they say, hey, he's not thanking us. They say, honor such men. These are men you need to honor. He's thankful. He calls them by name. Oh, friends, what else do you know about Epaphroditus? What else? He never preached a good sermon. He probably never planted a good church. What else do you know? He refreshes Paul. And he's in the copy of God's word. You know, in God, friend, there's no great and low work. The little you do behind the scene where no one can see. But God thanked Epaphroditus. Paul has that habit. And to thank people. Oh, but we are living after. Before, after Genesis 3. After Genesis 3, thorns and thistles, as King Solomon says, they keep growing. You start finding husband and wife who don't thank each other. Nothing. They no longer say, thank you, honey. Thank you, baby. You get kids who not thanking their parents for anything. You get people who think they deserve. You have people who are entitled. I'm an entitled to have this. They are no longer pausing and say, Dad, thank you. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for providing. Thank you. Right? Do we have husbands here? Say, wives. Thank you for those powerful meals. Huh? You went through fire just for us to eat this. You have to pass through fire for us to have this. Thank you. Thank you for your kindness, for your patience, for your love. Thank you. So you know we are a young couple in my life. So every time when she says, this we didn't do that right, this we didn't do right, this we didn't do right. I pause and say, hey, that's a long list. Let's try to get those that I did right as well. At least encourage me. Don't crush me. Give me those I did right as well, so that I know that at least I got A, but it seems like I got zero. I need a bit of encouragement. What is it? He's like, no, those ones you know. So I was just giving you the list you don't know. The one you did right, you know. I said, no, we need those ones as well to encourage us. How do we do this, friends? How about you going home and just sit and reflect and reflect, what is it that you have been to thank the person that God has put in your life? What is it? It might be a husband. It might be just a young man. What is it? It might be your pastor. And he's here. Right? I said, no, man, for once, you know, in these churches we have those people who are very good in writing those emails when the sermon was long or when they didn't like the sermon and they were like, oh, pastor, I don't agree with that point. May I say, let's start with the one you agree with. I will get to that, but let me find out who are listening. Let's start with the one you agree with first. Then after, let's talk about the one we are not agreeing with. Look in Philippians 2. Look in verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The opposite, friends, of being thankful is grumbling, is complaining. And that word is the Greek word, kukosmos. That is the word that you don't actually hear what the person is saying. It's the Old Testament word, murmuring. That's what it is. Because you don't hear. You try to listen. So what's the problem? So what is the problem? Cosmos happen outside of church, outside of elders meeting. Does it happen there? Because they want to know, what is the problem? No, when after the meeting, cosmos. After church, the next thing you hear, there's a lot of fire coming. You say, where did it start at? It started with cosmos. Rumbling. Murmuring. Paul says, be thankful, friends. Be thankful. If you're going to live a joyful life, be a thankful person. There's many things you can complain about, even in your country, even in our country. There's a lot. But if the only thing you do is you read the newspaper, watch the news and complain all day long, you're going to be very mean. You're going to be very mean. Because the only side of the world you will be seeing is only the bad side. Come to the bright side. Also, look those who are doing well. Amen. Let us rise to number 4. To live a joyful life in a joyless world, you need to be selfless in your life. And number 2, you need to be a person who is content. Learn the secret of contentment. But number 3, you need to be a person who is thankful. Look around. What are the things that you can be thankful for? If you cannot be thankful for anything, say, God, thank you for the fact that I'm living, I'm alive, I'm seeing a brand new day. Thank you. Thank God. You can at least find something to be thankful for. Last, be a generous person. Be a generous church. Look in verse chapter 4. The last part of that verse. Now in verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increase to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you send, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, Paul looked at the giving of this church and look at 18, I have received a full payment. Just in case they think maybe Epaphroditus used some of the money he didn't give for. He said, no, I have received full payment and more. Paul said, you know what? My salary was not in short. It was actually extra. He said, that was the problem that I received from you. You guys, you gave me more than I expected. That's what he says. Right? You gave me more than I expected. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. What kind of a gift? A fragrant offering. It smells nice. Paul says, your gift is a fragrant offering. It smells nice. That's what I've received. It is a sacrificial gift. You see that? It doesn't just only smell. It is a sacrifice. I could look at it and say, wow, these people, they sacrifice a lot to be able to get this to me. And it's acceptable not only to me, but it's acceptable to God. Your gift, what you gave, it is acceptable to God. You will remember the story of Cain and Abel. The Bible tells us that one of them, his offering was not acceptable to God. It was not acceptable to God. But this one, Paul is saying, it was acceptable to God. It was a sacrificial giving. He's saying, you were generous. To those people, that is where verse 19 applies. Only to those people. And my God will supply every need of yours. Who are they yours? You, Philippians. According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God will be the one supplying your needs according to his riches and glory. Oh friends, what is this fruit that Paul is talking about? What is this fruit? He's saying your gift, it was a fruit. It shows this fruit. And it's not telling us what is this fruit is referring to. But we know that this fruit goes to their account, not an earthly account, but a heavenly account. This is what Jesus says, that store up treasures in heaven where there's no thugs that can break in and steal. Put it there. What fruit is he talking about? Paul is not telling us. Maybe this is showing love. The fruits of the Spirit. Maybe it's showing love. Joy, peace, that's what we're talking about. Self-control. Now the opportunity present those things to us. It presents those things to us. And my God will supply every need of yours. Every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been to believe in him, now, God supplying or giving to your needs is just his common grace. It's like a rain that falls to all. Don't ever look at that common grace of God in your life and say, oh, by the way, even if I don't serve him, I don't love him, but look at the things you have and think that God's face shine on you. No, not at all. Not at all. Paul is saying will supply your needs, referring to those who have become the children of God. In John chapter 1 verse 12, those who have received the right to be a child of God. I then ask a question, do you have that right? Are you a child of God? Are you? If you don't know, you can only be a child of one of the two fathers. Only, that's all. You pick your choice. You can be the child of God. That's number one. That's the best one. That's the good one. That is everything. That is what you must sign up for. Or you can be the child of the devil. Pick your choice. You don't have many choices, friends. One of the two. The child of God or the child of the devil. How do I know? Pastor, please help me. How do I know I'm a child of the devil? I don't want that. I don't know. How would you know you are a child of the devil? It's simple. You seek to do the will of your father.
That's all. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says to the Jews who claim to believe, and they say, we are the children of Abraham. We are the children of God. He said, no, you are not. Jesus was that preacher, was straight to the point. Imagine you say, I am a Christian. I say, you are not. They say, what do you mean we are not? We were never born out of sexual immoral. We are even immorally right. We live right lives. We don't go to tavern. We don't go to shippings. We are not corrupt. What do you mean we are not the children of God? What do you mean? He says, no. You seek to do the will of your father, the devil. Well, what is driving you, your desire, and then everything, every lust that you have is to do the will of your father, the devil. That is what he's saying. But if you have turned away and you believe in this God, he gives you a different desire to love him, to love his church, to love his word. Now you can test yourself. Sometimes when the desire to read the word is not there, the desire to pray is not there, the desire to meet with the believers is not there, the desire to love God's people is not there. Oh, my friends, maybe you seek to do the will of your father, the devil. Maybe. That's the reason. You need to repent. You need to come to him and say, save me. Change my life. Let me not continue living the way that I am living. Only believers will be able to live a joyful life in a joyless world. Only. If you are not a believer, you cannot. It's impossible. But please, please. We were once unbelievers. We were once enemies of God. We were once wanting to do the desires of our flesh. We were once running away from him. Our voice was heard among the voice of scoffers. We were once a blasphemer, his name. Don't look at us today and think we are better. We are telling you, you are a child of the devil. Don't think like that. We were worse than you. We were very worse. But God, with his grace, he came to us. We were nobodies. He came to us. We were sinful people. He came to us. As he's coming to you. He's coming to you. His business, his job, is to save those who don't deserve. You think I don't deserve? Welcome. Welcome. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, O God, for everyone who's here. We thank you for the believers that, Lord, we believe that your word edifies us. Lord God, grows us more and more to be like you. But also, Lord, we thank you for those who don't know you. That, Lord, at least they came today. Lord, have been here around, Lord. They have done a good step. We do pray, may they not end, O Father. At the door. We pray that they may come in, Lord. We pray that, Lord, they may give all of their hearts to you. They may surrender, Lord God, to you. We do ask, Lord, even for this church, we pray. Continue to bless, Lord, to this church. Bless them, Lord, for all the works they've been doing. We pray, may your grace continue be, Lord God, upon their lives. We pray that may continue to be exemplary to many other like-minded churches. We ask all these. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.